You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Very good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. You know, watching the Russians, getting big in the news, along with three American service members killed today, in addition to one that was announced was killed over the weekend. You know, what is Russia doing? What is Russia doing? And I think it's about time that, you know, NATO put Vladimir Putin on notice and tell him, hey, we'll defend the Ukraine. Yeah, we will straight up defend the Ukraine. And if you want a war, then we can fight it in the Ukraine. If that's what you want. But, you know, the enemy of the Russian people is freedom. And we all got it that they did not have the greatest experience as they tried to go from a communist system that doesn't have any of the infrastructure, any of the linking tendons and ligaments that democracy and free commerce has. And so as a result, it was a nightmare for them. We got it. Okay. But the Ukraine isn't having the same experience. And it's a threat to Russia. And so what does Russia do? Russia seeks to destabilize and all the rest of that. So I just find it, when you watch the Russians, why would they deliberately You know, what did they seek to do? My own opinion is they seek to perpetuate incidents, to perpetrate incidents, to initiate incidents that keeps this conflict at the boiling point. And so when you watch, you know, that little thing, and I think Alex Holling said it good yesterday. If you missed that interview, it was a good one. But Russia is faking it. Okay. They are not, their nuclear arsenal, which certainly needs to be taken into account. But short of nuclear weapons, they are thin militarily. And their technology doesn't always work. They can't always get to sea, blah, 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 blah. And so these kind of very, very public, very visible incidents and efforts are what they do, really, in order to destabilize the nations, the free nations that surround them. It would be nice, though, if NATO, with the backing of the United States and the European Union, you look at Russia and say, you know what, enough is enough. Be nice if Germany participated too and said, look, stop preying on the Ukraine. Leave the Ukraine alone. Or we will all react together and you will pay for it. You will pay for it. Sad news, bad news out of Afghanistan. In the city of Ghazni, which is, if you leave Kabul and you head towards a part of the world where I worked in, you leave Kabul and you head southwest. The road takes you through Ghazni. The road takes you to a place, through an area called Zabul. And ultimately to Kandahar, and then from Kandahar you head west into Helmand to the provincial capital of Lashkargah and whatnot. Anyway, three soldiers killed, three others wounded in the vicinity of Ghazni. Ghazni, if you recall, a couple months ago, the Taliban balled up and rolled up Ghazni. And American forces and American aircraft then got involved, ejected them from the city, blah, 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 blah. So, but here's what I don't understand. And I don't have any information other than what I've read publicly. But the way that these kind of incidents, and my understanding is they were killed by a large IED. I don't know if they were mounted or dismounted, but it was a matter of, I'll read you what it has been released. Three service members were killed, three more wounded by an improvised explosive device Tuesday in Afghanistan. One American contractor was also wounded when the IED detonated, officials said in the press release. The attack took place near the city of Ghazni. Ghazni, located 100 miles from Afghan's capital of Kabul, site of intense fighting. So it doesn't say if they were mounted or dismounted. It would be hard for me to fathom that they were dismounted and it got that many. Okay. It had to be a pretty big ID if they were dismounted. If they're mounted, okay, the way this is, let's see, the way we make sure this doesn't happen is that the first vehicle in the column is a mine roller. Now, normally, the roller sets off anything that has a pressure plate in the road. Okay? And so I'm not sure. Now, could somebody be command detonating it? Yes. Yes. All right. Depending on the terrain, right? So the mine roller goes over it, nothing detonates because it's not a pressure plate. Next vehicle goes underneath it, and you would command detonate the device. Is that possible? Yes. I don't know where the terrain is, but that's certainly possible. So, again, without seeing some kind of post-blast analysis or any further details, it doesn't happen very often. Obviously, we don't see this very often. So it leaves one scratching their head about how this happens. So, anyway, so stuff in my head today. Russia in my head and also just that disturbing story coming out of Afghanistan. And I will tell you this, if the Taliban are smart, the number one list on their things to do list, kill Americans. Okay? Kill Americans. Kill Americans. Get it in the American newspaper, get more people in the United States saying, get us out of there. Get us out of there. So if you're savvy to American history, that's how you do it. And you make America quit. Because it will. Because it's weak. It's got a weak stomach. So if you keep blooding its nose, right? If you keep blooding its nose, you'll get a guy like Barack Obama to quit. So anyway, good morning to you here on the 27th day of November. We're almost in December. How about that? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. I got a series of emails after the program yesterday about just observing what was going on the border. Pretty interesting how fast this issue could go away. I'll summarize the two emails. Pretty interesting how fast and the kind of concert the United States and Mexico can work in if they choose to. But it all starts with not allowing people across the border like that. Then all of a sudden, whoa, well, the Mexicans don't want them loitering in Tijuana like that. So what do the Mexicans do? They send them back home. With instructions, hey, don't let those people up here anymore. Got it. Not that that deters everybody. It certainly won't. But that was the gist of both emails. Whoa, pretty interesting. Barriers do work. Who knew? So we'll see. Estimates are now pretty astounding. 8,500. And if you, depending on what report you read, you're going to see reports that say that most of them are males. The females that you saw, the families that you saw, were more of a part of these caravans. When they started, they were not able to make the trip. So our southern border, pretty interesting. The all right. So and then joining us today, Grant Newsom's going to join us today. We haven't talked to Grant in a while, so we'll catch up with him. G20 summit coming up. American exercises on the Korean Peninsula coming up. Interesting to hear what Grant has to say about Russia and its behavior. So, this will be interesting. Interested to talk to Grant. The other thing I'm doing is I'm reading a book, and I would recommend it to you. I don't normally endorse products, but it's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Stand by. By a guy named Mark Manson. Barnes & Noble rates it a 4.3 out of 5. Goodreads, 4 out of 5. So they have a couple of benchmarks in terms of ratings. A counterintuitive approach to living a good life. I'm not sure it is counterintuitive. If you pay attention, in fact, it's funny because there's things that you'll hear here, right? Synonyms. Wait a minute. Synonyms? Sound the same but mean something different? Antonyms? Anyway, one of those M's. So, here. For instance, you can't give somebody self-esteem. They have to earn it. That which you value is that you earn. Yeah, that should be on somebody's refrigerator, shouldn't it? That you value is that which you earn. So, yeah, things like that. And that, what do we do? That how important it is, a life skill it is to overcome adversity. And in order for children to learn that skill, they have to be allowed to fail. Something we don't do anymore. Something we decided a long time ago that everybody had to feel special, that everybody had to feel that they could be something great, that somewhere along the line we decided that was really, really important. So we inflate, we bullshit, and guess what? None of it works. It doesn't work. The enduring things of value in life, hard work, persistence, overcoming, lead to achievement. You can't con your way to achievement. The other thing that's interesting is that this whole concept of you're nothing special. In spite of what everybody tells you, your problems are pretty ordinary. They can be solved. And when you embrace that, that things tend to work out. When you embrace I'm the only snowflake on the planet like this, and nobody else has my problems, and woe is me, that is a recipe for bad things. So, anyway. Yeah, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. If you can't stand the word fuck, you probably shouldn't listen to it. Yeah. But for those of us that are fans of that word, he says some funny shit in the book, too. So, I'm listening to that book. So, I'm doing the audio version, which I would recommend to you. Anyway, good morning to you. It's Tuesday, the week after Thanksgiving. Everybody eating turkey leftovers. So, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. We'll be right back. And this is dedicated to four soldiers that have been killed in the last 72 hours in Afghanistan and their families. Know that we will never forget, no matter what anybody else does, and you will always be in our thoughts and prayers, as will the service and sacrifice of your loved ones. So to them, Semper Fidelis, and God bless you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Alright, we'll check the weather. Clouds in 43 in Quantico. Clouds at 45 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas, it is partly sunny and 47. Point Lookout Palms, cold. Sunny and 47. Pendleton, partly cloudy and 43. Yeah. 43 at Pendleton? What the hell is that? Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 71. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, dark, cloudy, 63. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 61. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, where the corporate headquarters is of All Marine Radio. That's right, the corporate headquarters. 72 degrees, looking for a high of that today. Going to rain with 68 tomorrow and rain on Thursday at a high of 64. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines as we roll along here on a Tuesday. What is today? Giving Tuesday? Something like that. It's like Valentine's Day. Everybody's giving today. What? I don't know. Somebody thought it was a good idea, so you're doing it. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah, I'll let it all out. But right now it's just me.
Yeah, my daughter that you just heard, Colleen. Got a big water polo game today. First ever. She warned me it's not going to be pretty. But she says she's fast. She's fast in the pool. So we'll see. We'll see about that today. Water polo. Yeah, I think it's good. We're watching USA and somebody play something I found on YouTube. So, yeah, water polo. Tough girl sport. I said, don't take any shit either, man. Somebody kicks you or elbows you, give it right back to them. Time to man up. Yeah, so actually looking forward to that. I love when my kids compete. I've always loved to watch them go play. You kind of see what you got as a little what you see what they're made out of. So it was always enjoyable, and it was most enjoyable when they got their shit rocked a little bit, because then you see what you raised. Are they going to turtle on you, or are they going to get after it? So, anyway. So Colleen, yeah, in the pool today. I need to get Peyton Davis back on to talk about fishing. Maybe she should do a fishing segment with us. I'll tell her she should. And then will you? She sent me a picture of her with this big-ass fish. I said, where'd you get that thing? Did you catch that? She said, I did. Peyton Davis, All Fishing Radio. Time to check the news headlines here as we keep moving on a Tuesday. Top story, we already talked about 3 U.S. troops killed, 3 others wounded in an IED blast in Afghanistan. There's no word on, at least in the initial report, about the condition of the wounded service members. So hopefully the death toll will stop there. Email. Matt, can you explain the concept of the mine roller? I've also seen and read about radar being used. Would that be used to counteract some kind of electronic command detonation device? I'm curious to know how this stuff works. The, and again, we're not talking about any state secrets here. The bad guys understand all this, and they work on it every day. But generally, what you're really dealing with is the way that IEDs are initiated. And they can be initiated several ways. They can be initiated through a pressure plate, and there's even tweaks to a pressure plate that you put the pressure plate in, and it has a counter in it, and it doesn't blow on the first vehicle. It blows, let's say, it has to be tripped 3 times. On the 3rd time, it detonates. So there's that. You don't see too many of those, though. So you see just the basic pressure plate. The next thing you see, and the reason that pressure plates are hard to use in areas where civilian traffic is because civilian vehicles, depending on the pressure plate, if it's just some ghetto-ass pressure plate that's 2 wires separated by cardboard, obviously any vehicle is going to function that. Well, the locals don't take too kindly when a family of 7 gets annihilated in a by an IED meant for somebody else. Okay, so the next way, so pressure plates, depending on what area they're going to be used. Now, a more sophisticated pressure plate that would only be functioned by something that weighs X amount of weight, yes. But do those exist in the region? Not normally. Okay, not normally. Okay, so the next thing is, okay, so let's do it electronically. Okay, so the explosive is buried in the road. A wire gets run from the blasting cap through the dirt, buried, right, off the road, and then you have to remote the receiver. Well, somebody asked about jammers. Well, we have jammers, and let's just say they go to 20 meters. Okay, because they've consistently become more powerful. But anyway, let's just say they went to 20 meters. If you remote your receiver 30 meters or 40 meters away, which is simply running wire and bearing wire, if you run that 40 meters away, you're outside the bubble. So you can electronically do that. Or you can lay wire and you can physically be near it with some kind of initiating device. And when it rolls over, you physically squeeze and it goes boom. So those are your choices relative to initiation. Okay, so pressure plate has its perils. if you're in a populated area, if you don't have a sophisticated pressure plate. So, and again, the prize over there now for the Taliban is kill Americans. The number one thing on our target list. We can kill Afghans all day. We can blow ourselves up in mosques, okay? And the Americans aren't going anywhere, which means we're not any closer to winning. Our key opportunity is kill Americans. Kill Americans. And so anyway, that's when you're looking at how they do that and why it doesn't happen very much, okay, is and then the other thing you try to do is Americans only move in larger elements. So you do have, you know, you're moving with other vehicles in a convoy, and you have rollers out in front and things like that. So that's the way you mitigate it. Anyway, so obviously didn't work. The question is why? What's going on there? And I don't know that the DOD will release very many details relative to these events. They tend not to. So it's very, very difficult to put two and two together to get the appropriate, you know, what you think actually happened. Probably the top story in the early bird is a story that we discussed here. And at the time it happened, the headline says, "Dangerous jackassery inside the 1st Marine Division's culture of barracks hazing." Okay, so for all of you that are Marines, you would recognize stupid bullshit as opposed to true hazing. Okay, so, and there's a line relative to stupid shit and hazing. There is a line. Not all stupid shit is hazing. So, at the time that he was commanding general of the 1st Marine Division, Major General, then Major General, now he's the commanding general of 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force, Eric Smith. But he very, very adamant about this hazing shit's going to stop. He was taken to task, right? So, in the summer of 2017, as a commander of 1st Marine Division, the article says he went on the warpath to stamp out hazing across the stored unit. The crusade against hazing would see nearly 30 Marines confined to the brig and at least 18 administratively separated. His controversial tactics were rebuked by the United States Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals in February in the case of Sergeant Jamie Ortiz, who was accused of hazing 5 junior Marines and assaulting 2 others. A reasonable observer would conclude that the convening authority's ego is closely connected to the offense, and thus he has personal interest in the matter, the judge said. Ortiz eventually would win his battle against the Marine Corps at the end of August after he was retained following an admin set board. While Smith has received much criticism for his heavy-handed tactics, the 2-star general who assumed command of the 1st Marine Division in June of 2017 was waging a battle against what appears to be a seriously entrenched culture of hazing across the unit. Now, you know, to me, and I'll tell you what, and I talked to him about this, because I saw him a number of times last summer at different change of commands and different events, and he and I are friends. He's a good friend of the gunners, too. Right? And talk to him. He goes, "Mac, this is bullshit." He said, "And then we tell them not to do it, and they do it anyway, and I'm just supposed to take that." He said, "No." He said, "That's not the way it works in the military. The inmates don't run the asylum." So then the article goes on to detail the widespread hazing incidents in the 1st Marine Division. All right. Command investigations into alleged hazing obtained by Marine Corps Times spanning from 2015 to 2018 via Freedom of Information Act request shows cases of alleged physical assaults, forced alcohol consumptions, broken personal belongings, shaved heads for not earning the right to have hair, and even forced planks over a container of bleach. In some instances, it may have pushed some Marines to contemplate suicide, the investigation shows. From 2016 to 2018, 1st Marine Division had nearly 101 investigations for hazing. In 2015, the unit had experienced just over a dozen allegations of hazing. But that figure would spike to 26 cases in 2016, nearly double to 49 in 2017. The units across the division, that's not investigations, that's cases, all right? The unit, which I would think would mean charges. The units across the division with the most hazing allegations have tended to be those with high operational tempos and deployments. You know what? I think what this guy's failing, because he can't know, Sean Snow, it's also, they also come to those with the weakest leadership. Okay? The Corps' famed 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, also named Dark Horse, kicked off an internal investigation in 2017 into its own command climate following 6 investigations of hazing across the unit, which spanned from 2015 to 2017. I know this because my son was in that unit. Okay? And I know what he dealt with, and it was bullshit. It was bad leadership starting at the top. Dark Horse investigated 4 of those allegations alone in 2016. 3 of those cases were substantiated. In 2017, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines had investigated at least 4 allegations of hazing. And 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines had nearly 5 hazing cases. Smith's frustrations with the hazing had boiled over into an email that he sent to command staff on July 12th, which was detailed in an appeals court decision in February. The Marine Corps owns the barracks, not a few salty lance corporals who probably can't fight their way out of a wet paper sack. We're the 1st Marine Division, victors on Guadalcanal, and we're reduced to dealing with jackassery from a few lance corporals who think they're in charge. That will be proven wrong ASAP. We have 12 dead Marines in a KC-130 crash, and these few lance corporals who haze can't even pay them the respect our commandant has asked for, Smith said in the email. What's wrong with that? Oh, that's undue command influence. So what is the siege commanding general supposed to be? You know what? Some of these lawyers are idiots. I honestly believe that they forget the true purpose of the UCMJ. It's not the Constitution. It's the Constitution for the military. Its purpose, good order and discipline. Up is up, down is down. It's not like the criminal justice where, you know, down is now sideways. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the way it is. Many of the cases reviewed by Marine Corps Times paint a disturbing picture of Marine non-commissioned officers and lance corporals in junior leadership positions that run amok. An investigation by 2-7 stated there was a culture that exists within the battalion or possibly the infantry community or Marine Corps-wide that contributes to an environment in which hazing may occur. The culture is the perception of the senior lance corporal as a distinctly separate rank. They are the dominant primates, okay, in the monkey cage. Cases at times involve drunk Marines tearing through the barracks late at night, screaming about room inspections, tossing rooms, which means throwing the shit all over somebody junior to you, throwing their shit everywhere, right? Assaulting Marines, forcing them to conduct physical fitness or consume alcohol, and in some cases, breaking personal belongings of junior Marines. In an incident involving 3-5 in March 2015, a Marine allegedly was taunted by at least 4 of the Marines, derided as weak during a room inspection. During a re-inspection around midnight, and again, this is just harassment, right? right? Is it hazing? During reinspection around, because again, do we want everybody to be nice to everybody all the time? It ain't happening. In any group, you get this shit. So what is the threshold? During a reinspection around midnight, the Marine conducting the room inspection allegedly continued to berate. It wasn't a room inspection. He proceeded to choke slam him. That's assault. In another investigation into 3-5, Marines allegedly were woken up at 4:30 for several days following a room inspection where a Marine conducting the inspection allegedly threw trash and was verbally abusive. Now we're just being stupid. And the question is, like, where are the non-commissioned officers? Where are the adults? In the same investigation, Marine allegedly was thrown onto concertina wire during a Marine Corps McCree. In January of 2016, some Marines with 2-5 allegedly made 5 PFCs clean their rooms from 8 a.m. to 1:30 a.m. while also doing push-ups and wall sits, a commanding investigation detailed. One of the Marines allegedly passed out from exhaustion as a result. Another Marine was allegedly kicked, kneed in the side, forced to do push-ups and squat another fire team member over an offense that was described as improperly rolled sleeves. Hazing across the division was so severe at times that in one case, a Marine claimed it caused him to go absent without leave. AWOL is an Army term, right? Our term is state of unauthorized absence, or UA. He went UA for over a year. Okay, that's bullshit. That's somebody who went UA is trying to get out of it by blaming this shit. That's just me. I could be wrong, but normally I'm not. And in some instances, it may have pushed others to commit suicide. In January of 2016, the command of 5th Battalion, 11th Marines, were made aware of a Marine who had turned himself into authorities in Quantico after being AWOL since 2015. He had told authorities he had partially gone AWOL because of hazing at his unit and a drug-related incident involving his brother. Most of this is stupid shit. Some of it is hazing. Now, and it goes on, right? Planks over their helmets. So you put your sternum on your helmet in a plank position. Okay? And then some genius said, well, let's get some bleach and put that underneath them. I'm not really sure what the bleach would do. But again, it's all kinds of stupid shit that Marines have been doing forever. Now, let me tell you what has been done. While Smith's crusade against hazing threw Marines in the brig and administratively separated some of the offenders, other units across the division experimented with unique ways to stymie potential hazing. A common connection across hazing incident spotlighted a consistent theme of deployed or experienced Marines versus new joins who had yet to deploy. In its internal investigation into hazing and command climate, 3-5 decided to implement a new policy where new joins would report to a headquarters company for 10 days to separate them from Marines who had deployed or experienced or who have just returned from a deployment. The new joins were assigned a battle buddy and a staff NCO as a mentor in their future platoon. The Marines of Dark Horse contend that the command climate has since improved. I would tell you, if you go through starting in 2006, if you want to find a unit that struggled, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines is that unit. And that's no secret in the Marine Corps. Not a lot of people connected with 3-5 you know, would say, oh, that's bullshit. But they know. I'm not saying anything that people don't know in the Marine Corps. The Marines of 2-7 instituted a similar policy by creating reception platoons and housing new joined Marines in separate barracks from the rest of the Marines of the unit to help mitigate potential hazing incidents. To me, sadly, if you want to put an end to it, that's one of the key things. Because what happens is guys come back from being out drinking, and they're walking by somebody's room, and they're like, oh, McNamara's in there, that little pussy. Bang on the door, kick it open till somebody opens it, go barging in, I'm going to inspect this room, blah, 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 blah. Right? They're junior, and stupid shit ensues. So, but this is funny. Marine Corps Times took General Smith to task a year ago. This is wrong, and now the story's got a different twist. Smith has received a lot of pushbacks for his efforts to eliminate hazing in the 1st Marine Division, but some of those efforts may be paying off. So far in 2018, there have been only 26 cases of hazing, a figure that is down. However, that figure does not represent cases yet to be completed. He's since pinned on a 3rd Star, commander of 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force. Yeah, pretty big article about jackassery of the senior Lance Corporal. Okay, we're going to take a break. Grant Newsom's going to join us, so we'll get ready for that. So don't touch that dial. Yeah, check out that article. Hazing. And then a general who wasn't having it, who then got taken to task because, you know, because due process was violated, because he was too interested in it. You know what? That's so fucking bullshit. Yeah, we're all supposed to sit around and watch this stupid shit, and these salty-ass Lance Corporals decide what's going to happen and not going to happen, right? And then we got to change housing. We've got to change the way we house, you know, to protect these guys from these drunk punks when they come home at night. The question is, where are the NCOs? And I don't mean corporals because they're too junior. Where are the sergeants? Where's the fear that a Lance Corporal has of his sergeant? And I will tell you this. We have defanged. You can't do anything to young Marines these days. You can't do shit to them. Oh, administratively you can. But how does that help anybody in the barracks? They don't give a shit. And there's not a tool. You can't punitive PT him. You can't take him out and make him dig a fighting hole. All the things that staff NCOs used to do to wear their ass out and to own them and to fuck with them, they can't do any of that. We've rendered them toothless. You know what they do now as punishment? Write me an essay. Yeah, write me an essay. All right, we're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. You know, I'll tell you what, that's interesting. Maybe we'll talk about that. How do you rule the roost if your most punitive tool is write me an essay within the jungle? Yeah, that's bullshit. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.